charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we have today the great exhortation to charity and an explanation of what charity really is. So we will see it not only in the epistle for today, this wonderful extract from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but also in the gospel. We've listed in the bulletin on page 2 the works of charity, and there are both corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and we are going to be judged on them. We are literally going to be examined by our Lord as to how we perform the works of charity. And yes, it's true that our Lord refers to the corporal works of mercy. But as we know, there's also the spiritual works of mercy. And we must do all of these. Even though you've read these from your catechism, allow me to go through them and just to refresh ourselves as we prepare to do more works of charity during Lent. It's a good examination of conscience. The corporal works of mercy, to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to visit the imprisoned, to shelter the homeless, to visit the sick, and to bury the dead. Now, some of these we have to do according to modern circumstances. For example, visiting the prison, that's one of the hardest things to arrange. You have to jump through so many hoops, you have to go get security clearances and so on and so forth. But there's practical things that suggest themselves. For example, if you can't actually visit someone in prison, you could write to that person. That's just another way to fulfill that corporal work of mercy. To bury the dead, you don't have to actually dig the grave, but being present for a funeral, even if you don't know that person, you're absolutely doing that work of mercy of burying the dead. But let's review the spiritual works of mercy. And in a sense, these are even more important than the corporal works of mercy. Even though our Lord doesn't mention it in this passage from St. Matthew's Gospel, why are they more important? Because the soul is the nobler part of us. We're not just bodies. We are souls united with bodies. And the body will one day, as we know, rot in the grave. It will be raised from the dead at the general resurrection, but the soul never goes out of existence. And this is where our modern world falls short so often. Yes, you will hear about many humanitarian efforts to help people, and that's very good, and we should be doing it. It's easier, in a sense, to help the suffering bodies of other people. But we must not forget about the soul. And this is, again, where modern humanitarian efforts fail so often. They don't look at the soul. They ignore the soul. And yet that's the more important part of us. So what are these spiritual works of mercy that are done out of charity to admonish the sinner? Doesn't mean you're constantly going around correcting people, but that does mean that there are opportune times, especially if you are in a position of authority or influence with somebody. If they're doing something wrong that's harmful to them, point it out. That's admonishing in charity. It must be done with charity to be that spiritual work of mercy. To instruct the ignorant. Parents do this all day long. This is part of being a parent. Teachers get to share in this great work, spiritual work of charity, by instructing, sharing the Catholic faith with those who don't know it. They need it to save their souls. How important is this work of, how important is not this work of charity? To counsel the doubtful, to comfort the sorrowful. So often people are going through difficult times. They're not sure what to do. They're grieving. Perfect opportunities to practice these spiritual works of mercy. To bear wrongs patiently. One of the most difficult things of all. What's our natural human instinct when we've been wronged? To take revenge in some way, shape, or form. And actually, that's very, both 5 and 6 are very closely related. To bear wrongs patiently and to forgive all injuries. It's one of the most divine things we can do, to forgive an injury. Because God forgives sins all the time to people who repent. And he allows us to share in that by also practicing forgiveness. And we will never forgive others as much as God forgives us sinful human beings. And finally, and this is something everyone can do at any time and in all circumstances throughout our entire lives, to pray for the living and the dead. So let's review this list regularly. And charity, love, true love of neighbor will suggest how we can do this throughout our lives. We know that saying, what goes around comes around. When you do good works, they come back to you. But that's not, of course, why we do it, just so we get something in return. The purest form of charity is to not look for that return. Because if we're looking for it, then we kind of get our reward in this life. And our Lord teaches us especially to lay up treasures in heaven. And if a good work or a work of charity of ours gets unnoticed or somehow neglected, that's okay. The important thing is that we did it. And we did it for the love of God. Remember that these have to be supernaturally motivated. Again, this is the great difference between a true act of supernatural charity and a humanitarian effort to relieve somebody's sufferings. It has to have that motive, that supernatural motive, for the love of God, because this person is a creature of God. That's where we especially get our reward laid up in heaven. If the supernatural motivation is not there, then the reward would only come in this life. And it does come. But again, we want to live that, we're called to live a supernatural life. This epistle on charity, we would do so well to meditate on throughout our lives. Just such a beautiful explanation, not only of charity, but even faith and hope. And St. Paul says, and he's alluding to the fact that, God willing, we persevere and make it to heaven, we will no longer need faith and hope there. You can't take somebody else's word for it when you're seeing God face to face. And you can't hope for heaven if you already possess it. So faith and hope cease their function, cease their role, their purpose. You fulfilled it. But charity will never stop existing. It will be there eternally. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. What also strikes me is where St. Paul says towards the middle of today's epistle, charity never fails. So in other words, there's no such thing as losing true love for somebody else. If you lose it, then it really wasn't true charity to begin with. And what a message we need to our world, which has so misunderstood love. It thinks of love as a feeling or an attraction. And then when that feeling or attraction goes away at some point or diminishes, they conclude, well, I don't love this person anymore. Well, it wasn't true love to begin with. Charity never fails. Charity never goes away. Because of that supernatural motive, why would it go away? So how important this is to remember in an age where divorce is so rampant, where people say, well, I don't have those same feelings anymore. Again, true charity, true love never fails. Feelings fail. Feelings change. We all know that. We go through it. Charity goes much deeper and is much stronger. Love as strong as death is another phrase we read from Holy Scripture. So we need to remind ourselves about this. Again, this wonderful epistle is be so good to meditate upon. There's also that allusion to charity in today's gospel. And what's that about? Our Lord tells the 12 that when I go up to Jerusalem, I will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after I've been scourged, I will be put to death. And what does the gospel say for today? And they understood none of these things. What was our Lord teaching them? As he's teaching us, that true love always involves sacrifice. It involves suffering. There's no such thing as an easy love that's, again, the great feeling will always be there. And so our Lord is, again, teaching us this very important message. And even his apostles didn't understand it. They thought that there was some kind of an easy way. And our Lord chose the path of the greatest suffering because true love is inseparable from sacrifice. That's what true love is, isn't it? It's not seeking ourselves, but seeking the good of somebody else. And that's a sacrifice on our part. I mean, sometimes we feel very good about it, but we don't have to feel good about it. We just need to do the right and loving and sacrificial things. And God himself, in his human nature, set that example for us. So what a great explanation, again, we have for what true charity is. And true charity also makes sure that we never hurt one another, not only in body, but don't hurt somebody else in soul. And that happens when people help one another to commit sin. And it happens so often. I feel love for this person, so we'll go ahead and do these actions that are against God's Ten Commandments. That's not true charity. Again, charity never fails. Charity does the right thing. Charity seeks the good of others. Charity is for the love of God. So what a wonderful ideal we have to all strive for. Let us all pray for each other that we have a fervent observance of this holy season of Lent upcoming. It will be a source of so much grace and blessing, not just for ourselves, but it will also be a source of great blessing and grace for those around us, even for this whole world that so much needs the grace and the help of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.